Well, it's been good. Praise the Lord. I always ask Brother Richardson when he calls on me, are you sure? Because I want him to be sure. Praise the Lord for that. I would like to take about 5 minutes here to go over a couple of things. You know, it's hard when you're pastoring and you got preachers in your church better than you are. We got Brother Benny here, and Brother Mickey, and Brother Melvin Sisson. And let me say that they're all involved in the Lord's work.
Amen.
And you know, this help preachers, I think, if I can get this across like it needs to be said. A lot of times when an evangelist or somebody that's not pastoring walks into a church, there's a lot of pastors feel threatened. You know, they're there to take over. You know, they're there to cause trouble. I don't have anybody in our church that supports me more than these preachers do.
Amen.
Man, I don't know what to do with that. Brother Benny here, Brother Mickey, Brother Melvin, all of you know these preachers. And I'm glad to have them in church.
Amen.
Keeps me on my toes, you know. I can't get up and read three poems and call that preaching anymore, you know, because we got folks in there that can preach. And so I thank the Lord for that. And it kindly, Brother Jay reminded me that it was 44 years ago that I was over here and held the first meeting here at Grace Baptist over in the old cabinet shop. And I notice every time I come by, I look back down in the field, see that, I believe that's still sitting down in the field, and down the holler now, yeah, and 44 years ago, and I got to thinking about that, man, I was in my 20s then, can you believe that? And here we are, gray-haired, lost part of it, and still preaching, the church is still here, thank the Lord for that, and a great ministry has come out of this church right here. Man, that is a blessing, isn't it? Thank the Lord for that. And I do appreciate the good blessings of God. If you have your Bible, let me explain one other thing to you. From now on, when I come over here, I'm going to quit preparing for a message. Because about the time I get seated down over here, the Lord changed my mind. And I'm going to preach something that some of my people may have, one or two of them may have heard, but it don't matter because they would have forgotten it by now anyway. This happens when you get old and you don't even get embarrassed about it anymore. Somebody say, "What'd you preach Sunday?" And I say, "I ain't got no idea. Let me go to bed about midnight. I'll call you. I'll think of it after I get to bed and everything quietens down." But I want to read from the book of Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter 14, and I want to start reading with verse number 6. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. You can stand there with me. Let's stand. I don't know how long I'll be preaching, so just stand with me if you will here. I'll try not to be more than 2 hours. Brother Benny, that's a joke to you, wasn't it? All right. Verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Father, would you bless the reading of thy word now tonight? Give us, Lord, that divine help that we need. Thank you, Lord, for the good Spirit of God that's been here this day, the good testimonies of salvation. Yes. Let, Lord, our message tonight be of help to somebody that needs maybe a little encouragement along the way. Lord, if there be one here that's lost tonight, help them to find in this message something that would drive them into the hands of the Lord Jesus. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll let you be seated there. Verse number 12 is what I want to base my thoughts upon. Caleb said, now therefore give me this mountain. He knew what he wanted.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing when you get to the place where you know what you want?
Amen.
A lot of people never get to that place in life. They're always kind of up and down, you know, wishy-washy about the things, but it's a wonderful day in your life when you can come to a spot in your life that you know what you want more than anything else in the world. He wanted this mountain. And thank God he's going to get that mountain. You know, everybody needs to find that mountain in your life. I want to preach on that tonight, by the help of God, finding your mountain.
Amen.
By way of introduction, you know, I had a fella, he's pastor, he came through our church, he's pastoring out in Portland, Oregon now, and when he was out there, people were interested in calling to be a pastor. He's a great preacher, they'd give him resumes. And so one day he called me and he said, Brother Broughton, I'm going to send you a resume that this church wanted me to fill out and have you look at it, see what you think of it. And so I waited a couple of days and he sent me a resume, and it was 28 pages long.
Oh my.
Man, I tell you, questions on there I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and read it for a little while, and I threw it in the garbage. And called him back, and he said, what'd you think about that resume? And I said, it's in the garbage.
Amen.
I said, to me now, I'm kind of old-fashioned about that. If somebody wants to call the pastor, there's nothing any better than praying.
Amen.
And seeking the mind of the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Because if you don't get that right, you know, it don't matter what the resume says.
Right.
But there was nobody in the Bible had a better resume than this man Caleb.
Sure.
Let me kind of give you a few of them. First of all, he was of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good start, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know immediately he's in the tribe which our Savior is going to come out of.
Amen.
He's going to have a good lineage here.
Right.
Then, if you'll notice something else, he is one of 12 that was chosen to go in and spy out the land of Canaan. Man, what an honor that was, one of 12. Praise God. He evidently had some accountability about it, that he would be able to be picked out to go spy out the land. The third thing that I notice here, he was one of two that brought back a good report. Man, I like this kind of fella. I'm liking him already. He brought back a good report when others were saying, we cannot ever possess the land. He said, we are well able. I like that kind of fella, don't you? We're able. Thank God we're well able. He was one of two. One of two, 18 years of age and above, that survived the wilderness. Everybody else died out during that time. Here's a man that survived the wilderness. To keep that in mind, because I'm going to come back to that here in a few minutes. You'll understand that because of his attitude and his spirit, it made this statement. He said he was known to wholly follow the Lord. Three times in our text it made that statement. Three times it said that he wholly, that word means completely, he was totally surrendered to God. Man, what a testimony, what a resume. It also said this about him. He was known in Numbers chapter 14, verse number 24. He was known to have another spirit. Boy, isn't spirit important? You know when somebody's got a right spirit. I've preached long enough, I can spot it pretty quick now. You know, somebody's got a right spirit and somebody's got a sorry spirit. You can detect that pretty quickly. He was a man that had another spirit. When you got around him, you noticed immediately there was something about this man, that his spirit was not like the spirit of the majority of the people that he was around. He had another spirit. He is known to have that spirit, and therefore God let him go into the promised land and spy out the land. Now, when he got there, and I want to reference this a little bit, because in Numbers, if you don't mind going back to Numbers chapter 13 there for just a moment, I would appreciate that. I want to give you a couple of verses here from Numbers chapter 14 that'll get me to my message now. So now remember, I'm talking about this mountain. Finding your mountain. Yeah. Finding your mountain. I want to preach on that mountain. If you'll notice, in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, when Moses sent them over to spy out the land, here's what he said. Verse number 20, he said, you go ahead and find out what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood thereon or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now notice verse number 21. So we went up. That's a little clue right there. We went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, and men come to Hamath, and they ascended. That's a good word right there. We went up and we ascended, he said, by the south, and came unto Hebron. And I want you to stop there, because I want you to understand that when it got over there in the land, they began to climb upward wherever they were going, and he went towards Hebron, and there he spied his mountain. Amen. He spied his mountain, and he claimed that mountain. And when he comes back down, he goes to Moses and said, Moses, while we were over there in the promised land, I found a territory that I'd like to have. Now, you might think, well, why didn't he claim the valley? I don't know.
but he climbed the mountain. And when Moses, before Moses died, he gave commandment that when they went in and inherited the land. Now, remember, he was only 40 years of age when he went over there. Get that in your mind, because I'm going to come back to that quite often here in a minute. 40 years of age he was when he spied that mountain. And now, 45 years later, when he's 85 years of age, he still remembers that mountain. And he remembers what Moses promised him. And he said, Joshua, I'd like to have that mountain now.
Amen.
He found his mountain.
Yeah.
All right, I want to preach on that mountain. Now, I get kind of excited when I get on my first part here. It always blesses me when I get on it. I want to, first of all, preach on the symbolic meaning of a mountain. A mountain always has a symbolic meaning. First of all, it's something that's elevated. It's high. It transcends things. Now stick with me right here. I'm going somewhere. Amen. It stands above other things.
Amen.
You got anything in your life that transcends all other things?
Amen.
That sticks out higher in your life than other things? I'm afraid anymore we've come down to the level of the world.
Come on.
And there's nothing that transcends other things. Boy, I'm glad 1957 I found at an altar something that transcends all other things.
Yeah.
That I've ever had happen in my life. It's still high and exalted.
Yes, sir.
44 years ago, Brother Jay, I believe I could say tonight that it's even better tonight than it was 44 years ago. Because I'm farther down the road and I've had years for it. Just using that as a reference, I've had 44 years to think about that which God has done.
Amen.
And you know, when you have 44 years to think about it, it probably gets higher as you go along.
Amen.
It transcends other things. Now here's the second thing about it. It is above all other things. It don't take anybody, you don't have to have any smart. You don't have to be a real theologian. You don't even have to be a real scientist. If you're down here in Kentucky and you live over where I live, we got hills. They're hills. They're not mountains. Because if you ever saw a mountain, you'd think that over in our country they're molehills.
Yeah.
Because a mountain, it sticks out. You notice a mountain. You cannot get past noticing a mountain because it's above all other things. Everybody in here, you've heard us talk about this. I've talked about it. I've had them. I've had people, and they say something like this. I've said the same thing. Boy, that was a mountaintop experience.
Yeah.
You've had them. We've had them right here.
Amen.
I remember one time, Brother Benny, me and you were supposed to preach over here.
Yes, sir.
You remember that? Brother R, he had me and Benny scheduled to preach one night. And the Lord moved in that night and got to moving and speaking to hearts. And three souls got saved, neither one of us got to preach.
Amen.
And I looked at Benny and I said, boy, you did some good preaching tonight.
Yeah.
And he said the same to me. God moved in, and we still remember that.
Right.
Anybody got anything in your mind and your past and your history that you get to talking about what God's done, immediately that comes to your mind? That's your mountaintop. You had a mountaintop there.
Yeah.
It sticks out. Here's the third thing that I noticed about a mountain. It gets bigger the closer you get to it. We were going out to Arizona, Flagstaff, and Brother Mills, our school supervisor, we was going down the Interstate 40 there, and he said, "Now, when we come over this little knoll right here, you can see Sacramento Mountains up there." I believe it, they're called Sacramento, San Francisco, one of them. And I looked up there and I said, "My goodness, that ain't much. That don't look big to me." Well, we drove 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 25 minutes, and that little spot up there started getting bigger. We drove 45 minutes. And go, we're ascending up, and I look up there and I said, "Man, that thing's getting huge." And the closer we got to it, the bigger it got. Amen. Now, if you don't know by now what mountain I'm preaching about, I'm going to give y'all a primer lesson. I've been to a mountain. You know the name of it. It's called Mount Calvary. And I found out the closer I get to him, the bigger it gets. Isn't that right, brother? It gets bigger the closer you get to it. It sticks out. It's above all other things. I've been to Calvary. Praise God, I've been to Calvary. You've been to Calvary? You can't get over it. If you can get over it, you probably hadn't been there. It's something you can't get over. It gets in your mind. And I don't care if it's a year after you saw it or 45 years after you saw it. There's something about that that grows and grows and grows in your life.
Amen.
It sticks out.
Amen.
And here's a man that says, "I saw a mountain, and I want it, and I haven't got over it, and I'm claiming it, and I'm going to run with it, I'm going to fight for it." Do you feel that way about Mount Calvary?
Amen.
I'm afraid some of God's people, it's lost its luster to them.
Come on, right?
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
I don't ever want this thing of being saved to just become an ordinary, a mundane thing.
Right.
I'd like for it to be such a influence in my life that the farther I go down the road, the bigger it becomes, the more prominent it becomes, the more it sticks out, the bigger it gets. I'd like for it to be that way, wouldn't you? And let me just say, I worry about God's people that they've lost the thrill of it.
You're right.
They've lost the thrill of it. I tell you, something's wrong with you when you lose the thrill of being saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
He had a mountain here. Now, here's my second point: the sustaining influence of your mountain. He didn't lose it when he was 85 years of age. He did not lose it when he was 40.
Right.
Yes. I believe for 45 years, he dreamed of it.
Yes, sir.
He thought of it.
Yeah.
He went back often in his mind.
Amen.
The other Sunday I was at church, Brother R., and I said, "Does anybody here have a word to praise the Lord?" And the one, the soul jumped up. I said, "That just really aggravates me. I believe I'll go home." And I got ready to leave. I thought, if ain't nobody in here got anything to praise God for, ain't no use me preaching.
Amen.
I'm glad one woman jumped up over there, just buried her husband, started weeping and got testifying. And before long, it got on, and I didn't get to preach. But it's bad when somebody loses the thrill of it.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Prophet over there's got a man that I've never been over there. When he asked, has anybody got a testimony that he won the very first one up? And Brother Prophet said, I've been here all these years, and said, when we have testimony, said, I've never known but one woman to beat him getting up and testifying. It kind of made him mad that it happened. That's the way that ought to be. You ought not to lose the thrill of what God has done for you. It is a sustaining influence in your life. Now look what it does for you. First of all, it will influence how you walk in this world. It'll change your walk. You got your mind in another world. Your heart and your affections in another place.
Amen.
Somebody might have come by old Caleb one day, and old Caleb up there just looking upward. And Caleb, what are you looking at? Well, I kind of remember a mountain I saw over yonder, that direction. And I've been thinking about that mountain.
Amen.
I've been thinking about what I saw when I got up there.
Amen.
I've kind of been dreaming about it. And let me tell you something. If you claim that you've been to Calvary and it doesn't alter your walk in this world, you've got the wrong thing.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You've got the wrong thing.
Right.
This experience of salvation and being saved will alter your walk in this life. It will help you to walk in the Spirit. It'll help you to walk in love. It'll help you to walk circumspectly. It'll help you to walk separate from this world. It's an influence. And then I thought about this old Caleb. It helped him in his wilderness journey. Did you know he survived the wilderness? Y'all know that? He survived. Others are dying all around him. Others died. They're a bunch of complainers and gripers. Yes, sir. What was it? 613,000 of them died men. I figured that out one time. 42 every day, an average of 42 every day died for 40 years. And here's a man that survived.
Amen.
It was something that gave him the fountain of youth. Boy, I feel young inside. There ain't nothing else feels young, but I sure do feel young on the inside. I feel like a teenager inside, Brother Bender. Praise God. I've got a spirit that hasn't grown weaker. Even while the body has grown weaker, isn't there something inside of a believer that sustains them, and I tell you, gives them power and gives them ability to do the work of God? Oh my goodness, I'll tell you what, we're going through our wilderness right now. You're in your wilderness experience, and it ain't going to get better in the wilderness.
Right.
You better have something to sustain you.
Right.
Caleb, been walking out here 40 years, seeing all this death. What keeps you motivated? Hell, there's a mountain over yonder. Then every time I get discouraged, I turn my eyes toward it again.
Amen.
You know, you pastor, you can get discouraged.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. About every Sunday you can get discouraged. Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Because walking through this old wilderness and fighting the battles and scrapes and things like that, spiritual battles, seeing the wickedness. You know, this wickedness of this world, it preys upon a preacher because he wishes he could do more to stave off it.
Right. Yes, sir.
But it seems like that wickedness is on a steamroll. Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, folks, now, except being older, I haven't changed one iota of what I preached for the last 50 years. Yeah. I preached messages that 45 years ago you give an invitation but have five or six get saved.
Yes.
And now you preach something along the same line, people yawn and and look at the watch.
Yeah, right.
Like it's old tale.
Yep.
And it is an old story.
Amen.
But I'm like Fanny Crosby, tell me the old story.
Yeah.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
Amen.
It gets sweeter.
Amen.
Sweeter every day. Thank God. It'll sustain you.
Yes.
It'll help you through this wilderness. Let me tell you this mountain, what else it do. Your worship will be affected by it. It won't. Oh my goodness, I have somebody get mad at me right here. It won't take as much to get you stirred up as it does some. A preacher can get up here and say, boy, isn't Jesus good? And there'll be somebody back there say, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Just to mention it stirs them up.
Yes, sir.
And somebody else be sitting back there and the preacher says the same thing. And they say, yeah, he's a little long-winded today, isn't he?
Yeah.
You lost the wonder of it.
Right.
Yeah, right. It'll affect your worship.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, preacher. Amen, preacher.
I used to sit around and hear people testify like they have today, and I just sat there, you know, said, boy, that was good. But now I find myself weeping with them.
Amen.
It'll affect your worship.
Yeah.
Boy, if we come in the house of God like that mountain means something to us.
Amen.
Don't you believe that?
Yes, sir.
It'll affect your worship. Let me show you. Let me say something else about it. It will influence the will of God in your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You won't fall out by the wayside.
Right.
You know what the will of God is for you. I've got a mountain up yonder. I'm walking towards that mountain.
Amen.
It's affected me. I've been out here in this wilderness. I'm tired of wilderness. I'd like to go up there and possess my mountain. I want to tell you something about my Mount Calvary. Now listen at me. My Mount Calvary will ultimately wind me up in Mount Zion.
Amen.
The city of God.
Amen.
It has an end to it. Well, don't really have an end to it. Up there, we'll just be praising Him forever.
Amen.
But it'll get you in the will of God. There's none of you preachers here tonight would be preaching if you had not first of all been to Calvary.
That's right.
And if you're preaching without being to Calvary, you're an imposter.
That's right.
Amen.
A preacher can't get in the will of God unless, first of all, he's been saved. And then it opens him up to other aspects of the will of God.
Yes.
And so this mountain has an influence. Has an influence. It's a sustaining influence.
Amen.
Now, here's a third thing. Sometimes there is a struggle to reach your mountain.
Right.
It won't come easy.
Right.
Yeah. Every time Hebron is mentioned, it mentions the three sons of Anak, A-N-A-K. If you don't mind, let me have you turn back to Numbers chapter number 13. Now I need you to get this because this is important. Now, if I pronounce these wrong, you pronounce them the way you want to, I won't fall out with you. All right? Verse number 22, they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. These are the sons of the giant. Y'all understand that? What happened when they came back from spying out the land? Now, here's one of their complaints. There's giants in the land.
Right.
We can't go up there and take that land. There's giants there. And besides that, they've got walled cities. We can't take the land. Well, come back over here to Joshua chapter number 15, if you don't mind. Joshua chapter number 15 and verse number 14. Well, let's read verse number 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. Now here's their names again. Same names. Sheshaiah, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. You see, giants don't ever go away. You may kill one or two of them, but there's always another giant jumps up.
Yep.
You remember old David when he slew Goliath. You know, Goliath had four brothers, some of y'all other brothers. If y'all are students of Bible, you understand he picked up five stones. I guess he thought he was going to have to whip all five of them. But there were brothers, and later on, his mighty men slew those other giants. But when Caleb went up there, this fellow by the name of Anak, A-N-A-K, there were three sons. And 45 years later, when he drives them out, there's those three sons that are there.
Right.
So the thought that I want you to get here is this. You're still going to have to fight the battle to inherit what you get. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
You can't go through this life without fighting.
That's right.
Now, a lot of times people get mad at preachers because preachers get off on things that have to be preached about. We fight sin.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can't preach without preaching against sin.
That's right. Right. Amen.
And when you preach against sin, I still believe sodomy is wrong.
Sure. Amen.
I don't care if Supreme Court ruled that way. I don't care about the bathroom issue.
Right. Yeah.
I'm still going to preach against it.
That's right.
Amen.
And when we do, we'll have somebody in church that has a kinfolk or friend that are involved in those transgressions.
Right.
But if we're going to remain true to God, we're still going to have to preach it.
Right.
We may preach against abortion. Somebody in our church has a friend or loved one that's had one.
Right.
But we're still going to have to cry out against it.
Right.
Amen.
Some of these things of God we don't inherit. And they won't come easy for us to conquer unless we fight the giant that's standing there in our way.
That's right.
And let me just say, nowhere do I find out that the walled cities had fallen down. He's going to have to go ascend and knock down the walls. That's what he's going to have to do, just like Jericho.
Right.
And the people that he said were strong, when they went up there, they're still strong. And so he's going to have to contend with it. But the mountain was so prominent in his life that he was willing to face any obstacle that was in his way. Right. Now, let me give you this, and I'm going to be done. That mountain became a part of his life.
Amen.
I believe his thoughts were there.
Yes.
I kind of believe when he went to bed at night, he probably dreamed about it.
Yes.
You ever dream about preaching to a big crowd?
Yes.
like President Obama or somebody like that. I've dreamed about that two or three times. But every time I dreamed about it, they turned the microphone off. But I had a good time preaching until he turned it off. It kind of occupies your thoughts.
Amen.
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 Man. Sure, I'm getting happy. Just think about this. How one day God gave me something that's been occupying my thoughts.
Amen.
Here's another thing. It had become a vital part of your talk.
That's right.
You can't even talk to anybody without this thing coming up. They said that Charles Spurgeon could not even carry on a conversation without it being filled with Scripture.
Amen.
I said, man, wouldn't that be good talking? We had a little old boy come in there at prayer meeting the other night. He's 15 years of age. In fact, we got two that comes now. Both of them 14 or 15 years of age. Saturday night prayer meeting. And he got down there praying. He'll pray now and then. He don't pray all the time when you get there, but now and then he'll pray. I have never heard a man, I'm talking a man or a preacher, his prayer filled with more Scripture. Man, I mean, every statement, every sentence he took, he had some Scripture in it.
Amen.
And it reminded me of what Charles Spurgeon said, that when he prayed, he argued God's Scriptures to him. Like this, Lord, you said.
Yeah.
That's a good way to pray.
Amen.
Lord, you said. I hate it when my wife all the time says that. But you said. Oh, man. Cost me a lot of money, that does. But our talk ought to be filled with the things of God.
Amen.
Now, here's the last one. I believe his testimony. I believe whenever somebody asks Caleb, do you have a word to say? Yeah. Got a word of testimony? Yeah. What's your testimony? There's a mountain over yonder. There's a mountain over yonder. I can't get it off my mind.
Amen.
And one day, I'm going to see it. Boy, it'll do something for you.
Amen.
You know, here's the trouble tonight in our Baptist churches. We've lost the wonder of it. We've lost the wonder. It's become small. Sometimes it becomes insignificant when it ought to transcend everything.
Amen.
Don't y'all believe that?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Somebody here's got over it. I was preaching over at Glasgow the other night. Brother Benny was there. And I preached on revival. I didn't go to preach that, but I preached on revival. And the tenor of the meeting, God changed my mind, and I preached on revival. And I preached on that text, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And when I stood up to preach, I remembered an old preacher by the name of Willie Randall. I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. Willie Randall spent years in China. He was in prison 2 years when it fell to communism. He was skinny, probably didn't weigh 105 pounds. His teeth were rotted out. I asked him why his teeth rotted out, and he said, well, that we only was able to eat bread and water. And said the bread sometimes was filled with sand. And Willie Randall, if he stood up
and said Jesus, he would start weeping.
Amen.
Just the mention of his name, he would start weeping. And over the years, I've said, boy, I sure wish that I could become like an old pastor. That when somebody got up and started bragging on Jesus, it would touch my heart as it did his.
Amen.
He never got over it. See, some of you got over it. Been times when I got over it.
Yeah.
And I had to renew it. But the mountain is still there.
Amen.
Mountain is still there. If you've never been to it, you won't ever get saved unless you fall at the foot of it.
Right.
Yes. Amen. What was it, John Bunyan fell at the foot of the cross, and when he did, the burden rolled off of him. That's what'll happen when you get to Calvary. Let's stand up here. I'm going to quit right there.